of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Today, Wednesday, the 22nd of September, 7:05 in the morning, and the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassionate community, and courage for this COVID battle going on. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. Jared, good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
So is there any special international or national day going on today?
There's actually 11 on this list today.
Well, let's just pick.
We'll just start with the autumn equinox.
The autumn
first,
equinox.
First day of fall.
Oh, yeah.
First day of fall. Really?
Today? Yeah.
Today. Wow.
Ooh, well, you know, last night we were talking about fall is in the air. You can taste it and smell it. What else?
Let's see. We got American Business Women's Day. Women's Day.
We like that.
Centenarians Day.
Okay.
Elephant Appreciation Day. Hobbit Day, if you're like a big Tolkien fan.
I like the first four.
All right.
But there are some Hobbit fans. Are you a Hobbit fan?
I've read the books, but I'm not like a super fan.
All right. Hey, there's a little something for everybody on our planet. We'll do more a little bit later. Any updates as far as fires or anything?
I don't have anything up here right now.
All right, excellent. Okay, today the weather is sunny and a high near 93. We are currently at 64 degrees. North winds 5 to 7 miles per hour, becoming light and variable. Tonight, partly cloudy with our overnight lows of 65. Thursday, calls for mostly sunny with a high near 94. Friday, sunny and hot. That's weird. With a high of 97, that people are considering that hot. According to where we've been, that's okay. Saturday, 92, clear skies. Sunday will be about 88. And as we progress on Monday, the forecast calls for 84. And Tuesday, slight chance of showers, mostly sunny with a high of a 79. And the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned, operated, senior and veteran discounts, 365-3793.
Air quality index is moderate. It's gone up since yesterday. Yesterday was 3. It was wonderful. It was time to run around outside and suck in air. Today it's back to moderate again. And because of the rains this weekend, they were able to kind of put some more fire breaks up and everything. We'll give an update later on. In our next hour, Mike DeQuisto will be on talking about that big, you know, the
what happened last night
City
Council
about the unsolicited proposal to buy 212 acres down there around the Civic Auditorium.
Yep.
But first, we are here.
We should have
a drum roll here.
Yeah, you know what? We've got, okay. We have two new people that have come into the KCNR family. We're very, very excited about sharing these two wonderful individuals. That's Patrick and Jill Gorman, attorney at law, paralegal. Jill and Patrick, who is his areas of practice are workman's comp and that kind of thing if you've been injured. So welcome to the show this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
How are you guys?
Very good.
And your mom's watching on YouTube. Hey,
yes.
Mom. All right. So, you know, before we started, Carl, Patrick poked his head in and we were talking a little bit because I always think it's very interesting to do a little background of how you got in. You said you started law late in life.
Yes.
Let's go a little bit back on your history.
Okay. Well, I was kind of a troublemaker as a teenager and got a GED and joined the Army. And I was an infantryman in the Army and spent a year in Korea and then the rest of the time with the 101st Airborne. I only did 3 years when I got out. I had a friend.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you.
You too. I believe you're a veteran as well. A
couple of days.
And so I had a friend who was a runner on the Pacific Stock Exchange where the guys take a ticket from the desk out to the crowd where everybody's yelling at each other. And he got me a job doing that.
Stressful.
Very exciting. And it was actually very similar to the military in that, you know, people curse and yell and everything. And it's just like the military. I fit in well. And I really loved doing that for a few years, but and progressed through that. I wound up being a derivatives trader and doing options. And that job became automated. It was early 2000s through 2000 to 2004. Essentially, the Pacific Stock Exchange went from a bunch of guys in coats, you know, in the crowd yelling at each other like you see in trading right. spaces, to computers and a bunch of guys just making sure the computers are working.
You know, that, not to get off the subject, sure. trading places, the movie.
Yeah.
And that spot where they turn and start yelling, buy or sell or buy, I can't remember.
Yeah.
And I never could understand why. I mean,
yeah.
even though I said, well, if you buy these orange futures, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I never did understand the premise behind it, which is why I'm not in the stock market. But when they all turned, it was hilarious because I used to see photos of people like you or videos of people like yourself, the runners going back and
yeah.
forth there. So
adrenaline
somebody
junkie.
Would say, buy, and they'd give you a piece of paper,
yeah.
right? And then you'd run up to somebody? Was it
yeah,
a specific
somebody
person?
Somebody would call in to a guy on the desk.
Yeah.
I wound up being on the desk after I was a runner. A person at, you know, a hedge fund or an investment bank would call and say, I want to buy, you know, 10,000 calls and, you know, Sun Microsystems or something.
Right.
They would write it out on a ticket,
yeah.
timestamp it, give it to the runner who's just waiting there, and the runner would not necessarily run, but walk as
yeah.
fast as possible
right.
out to that trading crowd, hand it to their broker
and
in the crowd.
Different crowds of people,
right.
and you would just stick it in to the guy
you
knew.
Hand it to your guy.
And
then
he would
yell
around,
it out.
Buy!
Yeah, he'd yell it out, or he would throw it out the offer or the bid, and then everybody else who wanted to participate on the other side would
start
jump
yelling
on
back.
They would counter. And
how, did,
you know.
How many mistakes do you think, Pat?
Oh, boy.
I mean, you know, again, you know, a lot of times, battle is chaos and things, but as you know, if you've been in the military, it's not really chaos. It's an organized chaos.
Right.
I mean, everybody knows what's going on, even though there's so much stuff going on. Was it like that everybody
yeah.
knew what was supposed to be happening? Even if an untrained person like myself was looking at it, I'd go, well, how do they know what's happening out there?
So it's just like in the military where at first, you know, if you're watching it from the outside, everything seems
yeah.
so fast and out of control. But
right.
once you've trained and practiced, it slows down. So usually the trading errors, they would be significant, you know, several hundred thousand dollars at a time, but it was because somebody circled the wrong number or transposed a number, something like that, or the wrong month. So it was an error on the desk side, not necessarily out in the crowd. And because everybody knew one another, you know, there's a lot
right.
of relationships. Usually people would let you out of an error or out of an error for a minor amount. They wouldn't just, you know, let you ride. And there was a lot of antics. There was a market maker in one crowd. I think it was the Apple crowd or something. And in this hat with a turd stapled on
uh-huh.
it, and it said, pardon my language, you know, poo head or, you know, with the S.
That's all right.
And if you made an error, you had to wear that hat all day.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, just things like that.
Hey, aren't we glad we don't have to do that
yeah.
around here?
Yeah, like, yeah. But it sounds like there was like a competitive camaraderie.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. So
okay.
then let's,
yeah.
okay, so that is huge. Now, how long did you do that?
5 years.
So
okay.
from there, it went automated, and you were like, this is not for me.
Yeah, it was, so I wound up working for a different company doing cold calls, and like cold calling people,
mm-hmm.
and my boss gave me a rebuttal book. I'm like, you know, I'm not doing this. I don't want to sit here and argue with people about whether or not they want to trust me with their money.
Right.
It just didn't feel right.
Right.
So I left that, and I wanted to get back into an environment that was similar to the military.
Yeah,
so,
you're a hands-on dude. I can
yeah.
tell that right now.
So I pursued a career in law enforcement and went through the police academy, and I thought that would be very similar after I graduated from the police academy and I was working in law enforcement. It is, but it isn't. It's really political, and I really give all of the respect in the world to law enforcement officers. It is a harder job than they tell you about in the academy. You don't realize it. Almost everybody you encounter hates you, and you're seeing them on their worst day. I mean, people want to fight you for the dumbest reasons. And
just because you're wearing a uniform.
Yeah, and they know that if they can get you to lose your temper, it's your career. So they use that as leverage, right? And so I'm just not built for that. The people who are able to tolerate that every day, all respect in the world to you. I'm not built that way. I don't know how you guys are. But it's
well,
really
congratulations for knowing yourself. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know that this is right. This is a good fit. This isn't a good fit. So
right.
how long did you do that?
1 year, a year and a half after the academy. I think it was.
Well, it only takes about
not that long.
Yeah.
Bill Shuler says, Chief Shuler says, they'll get somebody back from the academy, and about 40% of the people that they get out of the academy don't make it through that first year and a half.
Right.
Yeah.
He says a lot of them just just like you say, you know what? I'm not built for this.
Right. You don't know until you get your feet on the ground with it, right?
I'm not. You know, I'm just not built for this kind of work.
So but now you go into we got to take a break.
Let's take a break and find out what happens next.
It's all about Gorman Law, and we're going to be talking about personal injury. But I think it's important for our listeners to kind of go a little bit back about your history, because I think it kind of translates into what makes the man today, and also, of course, Jill being your paralegal and you guys building this business together. Why you're in Reading, what you practice, how. Tell us all about it. We want to say the inside of what you guys do. We can't wait to hear all about that.
Thank you.
This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Cornerstone Community Bank. Cornerstone Community Bank is it's exactly what it is. There's no banks left around here anymore that are local except Cornerstone. You know, Reading Bank of Commerce became Merchant Bank of Commerce. It just got built. I mean, it's a fine bank. Don't misunderstand me. There are really great people there. But this is the only community bank here. The board of directors is from the community, that's run by the community, and they have three branches, one at 500 Riverside Way in Red Bluff, one at 1845 California Street in the heart of downtown Reading, of course, and the main branch in the Cobblestone Shopping Center at 192 Hartnell Avenue, and the newest branch is coming in Anderson. And we're going to have Jeff Fink on, who's the CEO the manager down here of Cornerstone Bank in a couple of weeks to talk about the growth of Cornerstone. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. We do business with Cornerstone. We'll be right back with Patrick Gorman and Jill from Gorman Attorney at Law.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
Football is life. Get in the game. Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino on Thursday nights to catch your favorite pro team on any of our 12 TV screens and giant 12-foot projection screen inside overtime. Enjoy game day bites every Thursday from 5 p.m. until the end of the game. What is better than football? Enjoying the game with nachos, wings, pizza, and your favorite pints. Come get your fingers messy at Overtime Bar every Thursday night. Some people talk football. We live it at Wind River Resort and Casino. For details, see windriver.com.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve a growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
What a great way to start your day with a 5K at Turtle Bay. The annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk starts at 9:30 a.m. Saturday, October 9th at Turtle Bay and winds along the scenic Sacramento River and across the Sundial Bridge. There will be three different waves of activity. The first is a race wave for those who are competitive, a second wave, a run wave for those who like to run for fun, and a third wave, a walk wave for those who prefer a leisurely stroll. Whether you like to run or walk, sign up today for the annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk for only $35 for the run and $25 $25 for the walk at carenet.redding.org. Proceeds will go to CareNet, a nonprofit crisis pregnancy center here in Redding. Once you sign up online, you'll receive a link to create your own fundraising page where you can also draw support from those who are unable to attend. There will be a free pancake breakfast courtesy of the Knights of Columbus following the race for participants. It's a great way to start your day with the annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk at Turtle Bay, Saturday, October 9th at 9:30 a.m. Sign up online today at carenet.redding.org.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
There's more to explore with a Turtle Bay membership. Get unlimited access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, empowering playgrounds, and beyond. Family memberships are only $90 a year. That's less than $8 a month for a whole year of fun. Join today at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. It's Free Fire Radio. We're on Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m. This portion of the show brought to you by Craftmaster Windshield Repair. Jeff Horst has been advertising with us for, gosh, what is it, 11 years, ever since we opened up. He's been doing a great job on windshields. There is nobody better in this whole area. If you've got a small chip or a crack over 2 feet in length, Jeff Horst can help you. He'll fix it. He guarantees his work. If he can't fix it, he'll send it you to someone he trusts. He'll give you a free inspection, windshield inspection and analysis. Give him a call at 241-8373 for an appointment today, or stop by 3208 South Market Street. It's a better known business, my friends. Crackmaster Windshield Repair. We're here with Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, and his beautiful wife, Jill.
Who is the paralegal. I think that's very important. This is a team
office.
Effort.
Yeah, we're familiar with that. So we won't get into our teaming.
Let's talk about the practice.
Yeah. Okay, Patrick, you, when we left, you had just left the police. Was that when you decided to get into law?
Yes, and actually, so my wife, she was a legal secretary when we, so we've known each other since grade school.
Oh, my gosh.
We were boyfriend and girlfriend in sixth grade. She was my first kiss. I was hers. and then I moved out of town.
I love that.
Because she broke my heart. I moved to Alameda from Lafayette.
In seventh grade, she broke your heart.
In sixth grade.
Sixth grade, she broke your heart.
I did. And that happens. That's part of life. But when I got out of the military and she called me out of nowhere, and we started dating again and got married. And so through these career changes, she was right there with me, and she was a legal secretary. And we had talked about, you know, the prospect of going to law school, and there's a way to go if you don't have a college degree. I didn't have a college degree. It's called going as a special status student. And so we decided that that was the route to go. And I really love the law. I really love but that was something I really liked about the police academy, in fact. And she was very supportive. So the deal was, you know, I go to law school and I work on that. We had, you know, three sons at the time. We still do have three sons. But, you know, the three boys, and they were young. One was a baby. Two of them were in, you know, second grade. And, yeah, I feel like it was really courageous of her to say, let's do this for our future. So she supported me, and I went to law school for 3 years.
How'd you do that with the babies?
Well, we had family around that was
okay.
They were all helpful. And,
thank you. That's
and
great.
And I worked in the job I had, they were very supportive, too. So
you could bring the kid if you had to, as long as you got the work done.
Oh, not that supportive.
Okay.
Nobody's that supportive with 2 year olds.
Well, that's not true. I mean, some you guys would do that. So.
I mean, it was close to home, and so it worked out.
Yeah. And most of my classes were at night when she wasn't at work, and so we alternated that.
How long did it take you to get through law school? You went to JFK.
Yes, I went to JFK in Pleasant Hill. It was 3 years, and then you study for the bar for about 3 months, and then you take the bar, and you wait another 3 months for the results, which is the most painful three months ever. And then once you find out you pass, it's like right before Thanksgiving.
November 16th, 2012 at 5:01.
At 5:01. And you pull it up, and it comes
5:01 p.m.?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
it was a rough day.
Yeah, it was a rough day. And you find out you passed, and then you have to find a way to swear in. And so you swear in, and then you can practice law.
A lot of people don't pass the bars the first time.
No.
I actually, so I did a lot of work with a legal clinic for elders, for low-income elderly folks who need, a lot of them are on hospice, and they don't have a trust, and they own a house, and they're worried about their estate. A lot of people don't handle their estate until they're in hospice,
right.
Which is unfortunate. So we would go, and these are folks where the only assets they own was the house.
Right.
And if they probate it, they have to pay, you know, like a 2% statutory fee, and their heirs are really just in a bad way. So we would go and draft a trust for them, a very simple trust, and have it executed and recorded and everything like that before their end of life. So that I did that a lot. And on the bar itself, there were two questions. There was an essay question and a performance test question about elder law. And I felt that that was just karma coming back. I'm like, if I don't pass it this time, I'm never passing
right.
it. Because I did that for 3 years, and I know it inside and out. So I really feel like it was just the universe, you know.
Well, it's my sister's an attorney, and she, I think she passed the first time. But a lot of people, very good attorneys.
Right.
That, you know, they don't, maybe they don't take test right or whatever, but they don't make it the first time.
Yeah.
And then, however, okay, so after you passed the bar, you got sworn
at
in.
At 5:01 p.m. on
November 16th, 2012.
Okay.
You then, do you think about, do I approach somebody? Do I hang out my own shingle? Or
well, I already had a job lined up. I worked for years on the what's called the defense side of workers' compensation, where I represented insurance companies and large employers. I already had that job lined up. It's a family firm. My uncle started this firm. And so I had clerked for them while I was in law school. So it was like an internship. And I walked right into that job and did that job until August 17th of this year, in fact. I was an equity partner there. I worked statewide with the largest insurance companies, third-party administrators, and self-insured employers statewide. And that's actually what brought me up here in 2014. And then just over time, you know, I mean, insurance is necessary, but it is difficult to be representing that side and seeing the consequences and the effect it has on folks who can no longer work again.
You've seen it with the fires. I mean, people have personal injury through the fires.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're at a loss. I mean, I remember when we first had the car fire, you guys were up here. We went to the old Kmart and saw the lines of people and the looks on their faces, and I just wish I would have been, somebody could have been able to pull that person out of the line and say, let me help you navigate.
Right.
And that's something that I think is really interesting. So you decided to get on the other side.
Yeah, and it's been something that we have talked about for several years. And during the period of COVID, I worked on a statewide COVID response team with a lot of skilled nursing facilities and ambulance companies and retail chains, and I was advising them on, you know, their COVID claims. There's COVID presumptions now and how to navigate those. And, you know, just, I don't know, I saw a lot of death, you know, and a lot of claim denials that probably shouldn't have happened. They happened on a mere technicality, which is why they hire lawyers. And the same thing with what you saw at the fires. I mean, insurance companies love crisis because they settle things for pennies on the dollar. And it just started wearing on me, and just the last 2 years in itself, I think for just about everybody, has been very reflective for everybody. I mean, we've all made life changes, right? We've all reflected on what life really is about and what we want in life. And so Jill, just said, hey, you know, let's finally do this. Let's finally go forward and let's start our own practice and represent injured workers. Because for years, I've said, God, if I represented the other side, it would be so different, so many different outcomes for these people. And another complaint is I could save, you know, Berkshire Hathaway $20 million. They won't remember my name.
Right.
But if I get somebody...
You're changing lives.
Yeah, changing lives. Exactly. They will always remember the difference I made in their life. And it just feels great.
Well, a lot of attorneys start out as prosecutors working for the DA, do a great job, and they just flip over to the other side, to the defendants, because now you know the ins and outs of that form of law. So
you can go to GormanComplaw.com. That is GORMAN Comp Law. And you can learn more about Patrick and Jill. And we heard the heart of why you're doing what you're doing. I think it's really important. for our listeners to know that people are searching, they're grabbing, they're grasping at straws, they don't know. And that's the beautiful part of our listeners here on the radio. And then we can also, we have archives. We know that people are, your mom's watching, people can listen on YouTube and listen online and know a little bit more about you. So I've told people to go to GormanLaw.com, but as we have just a minute left, you have some final words. Are we going to hold over?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Okay, good. I'm so glad. Because there's
we
more.
We haven't even gotten into it
oh,
yet.
Okay,
we haven't gotten
excellent.
Into the meat yet.
Okay.
This portion of the show is brought to you by
Estate Granite. Mike Hubert at Estate Granite has just really an artistic way of going into your home and being able to do granite and tile and any kind of stonework. He's very trustworthy. It's a veteran-owned business. Give him a call at 241-STONE. I'm so happy you guys are staying over because I thought, wait a minute, I don't. So a lot of times we just do half hours, so this is really cool. I didn't know that. So anyway, Mike at Estate Granite, go to EstateGranite.com, and we'll be right back after these messages here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Carl and Linda Bott. We'll be right back.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
At the Wagner Law Group, their goal as a fire victims law firm is to advocate for those who have been victimized by Pacific Gas and Electric Company's negligence. The Wagner Law Group has been rated the number one fire attorney group in Northern California and has low contingency fees. So, if you or your loved ones have been affected by the Dixie or Zog fires, contact the Wagner Law Group today. Call 833-200-7111. That's 833-200-7111.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 at 1460 AM.
We're back live here on KCNR 96.5 FM. We're so excited that we've got the Gormans, attorney at law, and his wife, Jill, that is the paralegal. Very, very interesting. We're so glad that you stayed over. Now, when we go to you...
This portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry.
Going to go there today, pick up my had a new watch band and... batteries, and then I had some, jewelry that, you know, I'm pretty tough on my jewelry, so, I just, you know, if the prongs are bad or whatever, I don't know. I just said, here, drop it off and I'll come by in a couple weeks. Four Winds Jewelry can do that kind of work for you. Located at 2225 Hilltop Drive.
Okay, we're here with Patrick and Jill Gorman. Patrick's opened up his office here, in his last, now he's worked, for years in, working for the insurance companies, and the and this year has decided, you know what, I think I can do more good by going out, opening my own office and helping people, if, you know, to recover or to be able to be made whole if they were injured, and I've seen too much of the other side, so that's what you decided to do. Personal injury on the job, is that how prevalent is that?
Oh, it's that's a complicated question. I think just about everybody has, by legal definition, a work injury. Whether or not they have disability from it is a different legal issue in itself. But usually these cases come up either when there's a catastrophic injury, somebody gets hit by a truck, or their knee folds when they're lifting something. Or when there's something that happens between them and their employer, and they say, you know what, I'm not working hurt anymore. And those ones are the most contentious, because the employer says, hey, they never told me they were hurt. Knowing this person was running a jackhammer for 15 years or whatever, yeah, they're going to have, you know, arthritis in their shoulders. They're going to have arthritis in their elbows. They're going to have neuropathy in their arms. But the employer thinks that it's just because of the adverse determination or because of the dispute. And they're in part right, but... that doesn't mean the person medically does not have an injury that's related to work. California does have the most open workers' compensation system, and what they define as an injury and what they define as disability compared to the other states. So I think just about everybody has a work injury to some extent.
Hey, Jared, you don't have to be in the production studio during this if you'd like to go out and have a cigarette or something.
Well, let's talk a little bit, and that's very interesting for people who are thinking, oh, I don't have a case, but, you know, maybe you do. What happens? Where's the timeline? Let's say you worked for an employer and it's COVID happened and you haven't been back for 2 or 3 years, but you're noticing, you know what? I have something that occurred while I was at work. I can kind of trace it back. I mean, how long does that stay open?
Well, there are two statute of limitations, and they're applied very loosely. The labor code, first off, says that everything in there is to be construed liberally in favor of an injured worker receiving benefits. So that's step one, right? So, and, you know, we were talking off the radio. So in other words, any tie goes to the injured worker, and it's in favor of them receiving benefits. Now, there's different benefits. It's not a lump sum, you know, briefcase full of money. It's medical treatment. Right. It's wage loss while you're recovering from a surgery. And there is some permanent disability, but the permanent disability is that lump sum.
But that's why we pay insurance.
That's correct.
That's why we pay workers' comp every month. We pay that. And we pay that into that's part of the deal. When I pay my people, part of it goes into workers' comp.
Right.
The problem ends up is if somebody has been paying workers' comp.
Mm. Right. There's a lot of premium fraud where employers will underreport what they're paying people so they can pay less, because it is expensive. Workers' comp insurance is very expensive in California. I think it's about triple what it is in the next highest state. It's extremely high. And the cost to administer it is only double. So the insurance companies make more money in California than anywhere else, too. And that's just the way it is.
If you've got a trucking company, your workers' comp must be astronomical.
Yeah.
Because, we're one of the lowest rates right here, because we're admin, part-time, all these things. But
I have a question for Jill. So, do you, well, I think it's important. Jill's sitting here, and Jill's part of the whole body of this work as well. Jill, did you get out of school, and were you always a paralegal, or what? A little bit about you.
Well, I started working as a legal secretary when I was 21,
mm-hmm.
and just kept doing it. And I like lawyers, so I turned my husband into one. And then I made him hire me.
Encouraged him.
It's a good thing she didn't like.
I made him hire you.
It's a good thing she didn't like surfers.
Right.
Yeah. So you've been out there on the circuit, right?
Now, have you been working with Workman, within the Workman?
No.
What kind of field were you in?
It was criminal defense and estate planning. Two different attorneys in the same practice or same firm. And then before that, I had worked for a family law attorney. So the kind of law where regular people come into your office, not insurance. So.
Now, you two have two sons that are serving in the military.
Yes.
So congratulations. I know we have a heart for that.
Yes. One of them, it's interesting, one joined the Navy because he wanted to travel. The other one joined the Army because he wanted to be where he could have a loud car and guns. So he joined the Army being, you know, you're going to be in the South or somewhere like that. The one who joined the Army is in Europe. The one who joined the Navy is in Mississippi.
Okay. Well,
that's,
you know,
the
what?
Military.
There's
right?
karma.
Yeah.
Okay, going back to your practice here, why would somebody come to you? Let me put it that way. Why would somebody come to you? Now, there's people out there, especially during all this stuff, COVID and all these other things. Why would they come to an attorney?
The workers' compensation system is supposed to be accessible to injured workers. It is not. It is extremely complicated. The laws change several times over. The insurance companies have lobbies that draft all of these ways to avoid paying doctors, to avoid authorizing treatment. So usually an injured worker seeks an attorney because they need a surgery and it won't get authorized, or because they need a surgery and the insurance company offers them $20,000 to resolve their entire future medical treatment for the rest of their life, or because they have an injury that in itself isn't completely disabling, but with all of these non-industrial health conditions are, and they lost their job because they can't continue to work.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sitting there like, okay, this $30,000 versus me not being able to work for 10 years until I get Social Security, they don't add up. I'm going to wind up under a bridge. So those are the folks who wind up coming to an attorney and just saying, I need help.
Okay. And the, can you give, like, not of your own cases.
Right.
I wouldn't want you to do that, but an example. I mean, you've kind of given an example bit. Let's just say I was working for a company and it wasn't running a jackhammer, but I was driving a truck.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, my shoulders became very sore. I got my back. Nothing that you can't walk around and all this, but it got to a point after working for 20 years that I just couldn't drive a truck anymore.
Right. And that's very common and actually very close to me because her a family member was a Teamster and, you know, he had all of these knee replacements.
Well, I am giving the story of my ex-wife's husband.
Sure.
Who was doing that. And
yeah.
He just got to the point. And then he had all types of problems after that.
Right. And then litigating that, depending on who the employer is, a lot of these truck drivers will drive for independent carriers, right? They're not employed by Truck Driving USA. They're employed by either a trucking line or by a retail store. And so a lot of what will happen during the workers' compensation system is there'll be delays in treatment.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be denials of treatment. And they just won't get any better, so they can't return to work.
Do you find that, first of all, I believe I heard you say you do pro bono.
Well, it's not pro bono per se. So there's no hourly rate in workers' compensation. What the law says is nobody can charge you a dime if you have a work injury until your case settles. And the contingency fee in workers' compensation is statutorily extremely low. In personal injury, it's like 40%. In workers' compensation, it ranges from 9 to 15%.
Oh, okay.
And the judge.
And that's what you're talking about. There's no money up front.
It's only
if there's, you know, a judgment.
Right. And if anybody were to charge somebody who has a work injury, call me because that's illegal. I mean,
so somebody says, okay, I'm hearing this show today and I need to call you. You'll listen to the details and at that point decide, okay, we're going to take this case.
Right.
We're going to fight for you.
Sometimes people don't. Not everybody needs an attorney. And sometimes people can navigate this without an attorney, and I'll just flat out tell somebody, hey, I don't think you need an attorney. You can do this on your own. I have somebody who's asking me questions from San Diego, and I'm like, look, I can't help you from 900 miles away. But if you have a question, give me a call. And I don't mind doing that. It takes 15 minutes of my day, and it's going to help this person's life. So I guess in pro bono, that's a way to do it. But with workers' comp, attorney's fees are just automatically awarded out of any award or settlement.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, by a judge. A judge determines adequacy, and then they issue an award. But the most I've ever seen is 15%. It's very low. And they do that so that, you know, if somebody recovers for disability, that half of it doesn't go to an attorney.
Okay, that's good to know, yeah. Because years ago, a lot of money went to...
Well, as you said, though, that depends on which form of the or which form of law it
is.
Because
right.
This one, when it comes to personal injury, has always probably been low.
Yeah. When workers' compensation, it's not the same as personal injury and the system you use, the courts that you go to, and also the fees that you pay.
Okay.
Oh, well, that's good to hear the difference.
We're here with Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, who just opened up his new practice here in August.
August 17th.
Oh,
August
17th. So excited for you and Jill,
and,
his wife, the paralegal.
He works with those who have had work injuries, and there is there's a great deal of those out there, and as you just said, if he doesn't think you need an attorney for this, he'll tell you that. And Jill cringes when he says it, probably, but because she's the one that takes care of the books.
Yes.
But that's the way it is. You've got to be straight with people.
I agree.
And you strike me as being very much, you get what you see with Patrick.
Yeah, as far as practicing law, any good mentorship will tell you first and foremost that your only value as an attorney is your reputation. And if you don't have a good reputation, then you're going to be scraping by, and nobody's going to trust you, and you won't have relationships. So you do have to be straightforward with people. The common misconception about attorneys is that they are all, you know, dirty scoundrels, and that's true in some ways, but not in most.
My sister's an attorney. I can't say that.
So, well, stick
so
with
I did
us
ask her, what's we'll black and brown? It looks great on an attorney. And she goes, what? Rottweiler. And then she comes back with better ones. Anyway, hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction, the largest privately owned instruction company in California. It started right here by retired Command Sergeant Major Ted Lighty. Ted started this literally from his kitchen table, and now they teach in over 46 different locations. Everything from your basic CCW to advanced pistol, defense of your home, private classes, carbine classes, shotgun classes. They just have anything that you can imagine that has to do with self-defense. And if you can't get into a regular class, they're more than happy to have a private class for you. That's Northern Firearms Instruction, usgunpro.com, or give them a call at 999-1822, 747 in the morning, 64 degrees out there, and we'll be right back.
Headed down south to the land of the pines, I'm thumbing my way to North Carolina. Staring up the road and pray to God I see headlights. I made it down the coast in 17 hours, picking me a bouquet of dogwood flowers, and I'm hoping for Raleigh I can see my baby tonight.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at kcnr1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision.
although Coach Master is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coach Master has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coach Master, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coach Master apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachMasterAutobody.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51.
Spring on over for savings at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading. Buy 5 car wash coupons and get one free. Or buy 10 and get 3 free. Quick and Clean is a family-owned business. They offer only the highest quality service. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
And good morning and welcome back to the last segment of this particular hour with our wonderful guests. And we're talking to the Gormans. Gorman Comp Law. Yes, Patrick and Jill. They are the owners and they have just hung out what we would call their shingle, or they started their own thing about a month ago. So we're happy that they're with us. And they said already the clients are starting to fill up. And that's why you guys, if you're hearing the show today, you feel that you need these services. What's your phone number?
It's 530-262-2168. And, you know, I do answer the phone on weekends. I will answer on the evenings. If you leave a message, if I don't answer, I'll call you back. I don't care if it's Sunday. People call a lawyer when they need something, when they're in a bad situation. And I don't think it's appropriate to make somebody wait 6 days while they're freaking out about
right.
their life.
I love that. Yeah. Well, you know what? We understand because we, you know, are owners of this radio station and things happen and people call us, call Carl and text Carl if it's 11 o'clock at night, you know, the phone is off because we have to get up so early the next morning, but all through the day, and it just happens, you know, so you're like, you do what you do, and you love it, and you have to be of service.
Patrick, not personal injury, but workers' comp is what we're talking about here. Are there lots of cases out there?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a bunch
and
of cases.
And they range from somebody tripping over something at work to, like you said, the person's working in construction, running a jackhammer.
Getting hit in a crosswalk even. I have had a case before where a guy got hit in the crosswalk walking across the street and broke 7 levels of his spine. You know, so they can be very, there's death cases. I have a death case out of the Bay Area right now. So, mm-hmm. yeah, anything from, you know, needing some medical treatment to get back to work and having no disability to having permanent disability and even death.
And you said the state of California is very liberal toward the worker on this. Is it Is it because of past things that have happened, or is it just because that's just California, we're a sanctuary state, we're a sanctuary city, we have the high speed? Don't get me started. I could go down.
Sure. No, I'm on the same page.
No, I know you are.
No, so the reason it's liberally construed is in the early 1900s, there was this deal, this bargain made between employers and the government. And they said, hey, there's going to be negligence in the workplace, right? And we can't be held liable for negligence. So in personal injury, the damages are astronomically high. You might have to pay somebody a lifetime of earnings loss, pain and suffering, punitive damages. Workers' compensation does not provide those remedies.
Right.
So it's a system of strict liability. It doesn't matter who's at fault. The injured worker could be at fault. The employer could be at fault. But what it provides is certainty. There's certainty into what your costs will be. And so employers can prepare for that, and they can insure that. You can't insure – it's harder to insure negligence and whether punitives are covered and how negligent are you and whether your insurance company is going to cover your damages. So, the compensation benefits are capped.
Okay, so say the worker does something and he's negligent when he does it, for whatever he does, and he's injured. Is the owner – or is the business still on the hook for that?
For the workers' compensation claim, yes.
For the workers' compensation claim.
With a caveat, so there is a defense where it will reduce benefits by 50% if somebody is grossly negligent. But the threshold for that, the example that's commonly used is a meat cutter lost a finger, came back to work after having it replaced, said, you know what, I hate this job, told his coworker, hey, watch this, and cut off the other one. Yeah. Right? So that was still a workers' comp injury, but it was reduced by 50%. Because it was
did that really happen?
It really did happen.
Okay, you guys, okay. I need to hear this.
Okay, Jared, no cutting of toes off. Okay?
You moved. You always had a dream. You talked about it for a long time before you moved up here that you wanted to have farm life.
Yes.
Can we hear a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, for most of our marriage, I harassed him because I wanted chickens, but it wasn't really appropriate because we lived in a very small house. And then we did finally get chickens when we moved into a slightly bigger house, and we were hooked, and I was told I could have 3 chickens, and I think we had 7 within 3 weeks. And then
she kept smuggling them home.
And then we moved up here, and I got goats and a whole cat ranch, lots of cats. And we've had ducks and other pigs that we ate.
And still have the chickens?
Sort of, yeah. We still have the chickens. You know, they kind of
the fight up. Absolutely, right?
The Falcons love them.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I
dogs,
know.
Dogs. Yeah. All kinds of things.
Okay, so now, cool. So if you've got more questions, and by the way, this is just for show once a month. Patrick's going to be with us. And we're going to talk about different aspects of law. Not just workers' comp and stuff, but general aspects of the law and how it affects people in our community. So he'll be on once a month to do that. And we've had a variety we've had probably this will be our third lawyer type show, and the. I love having those on because people have questions about general aspects of law. Plus,
right.
we can talk also about the workers' comp type thing. I've already learned a few things today. I probably should know more about it being a business owner, but we've never had a claim. So, knock on wood.
And speaking of attorneys, our next guest is Michael DeQuisto. Attorney at law who is now,
Reading City Council.
Reading City Council. We're going to hear about what happened last night and so many other things that are going on in the city of Reading.
That's right. Okay, one more time, how to get a hold of Mike. Not Mike. Sorry.
The Gormans, Patrick and Jill.
Patrick.
So you guys, anybody can call or text anytime at 530-262-2168, or you can go on our website at GormanComplaw.com, and there's contact means through there via email, and we will be very responsive.
And we'll put that in the chat pack now, your contact information.
And, and if you like us on Facebook, when you make things, when you put on there, we'll make sure we share them, too.
Excellent.
Different aspects of the law. And
yeah,
we
turned off all social media last election cycle, just the negativity.
Hear you.
We might have to get back on having a business. It's difficult.
Having a business, what we'll do is we can share things that you're saying and those kind of things. But we'll also have on our banner on our website, too. You put it up.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is that maybe you can just do Gorman Law Facebook and not have to only do it for work and not have right. to do it with personal, because I'm with you.
I went off it for 6 months.
Yeah. It's,
I kind of went off it for 6 months.
No, you didn't.
It's addictive. There's all kinds of studies on that. But I do want to thank you guys so much. I just can't emphasize enough what your station brings to the community. It's very rare. There are no stations like this in any of our population centers, and you guys are the voice of this community, and I really appreciate you guys.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Jill.
Thank you for the shot in the arm. We really appreciate it. We need it sometimes, you know?
Okay. Now we're going to hear what happened last night in the meeting. And you know what? There's a lot of ado about this. A lot of people all went into high hover, and frankly, maybe people overreacted on this unsolicited approval, but let's find out.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Just getting underway at the White House, it's a virtual COVID-19 summit. President Biden presiding.
The president plans to use the summit to rally world leaders and others around ending the pandemic and preparing for the next one. He told the UN General Assembly yesterday that the U.S. has put more than $15 billion toward the global COVID response.
I'll be announcing additional commitments as we seek to advance the fight against COVID-19.
He said three target areas will be saving lives now, vaccinating the world, and rebuilding. Greg Clugston, Washington.
And the number of new COVID infections actually fell last week, 3.6 million compared to 4 million the week before.
Last week's drop marked the first substantial decline for more than 2 months, with falling COVID-19 cases in every world region. In its latest update on the pandemic released, WHO said there were major decreases in cases in two regions, a 22% fall in the Middle East and a 16% drop in Southeast Asia. The UN Health Agency said there were just under 60,000 deaths in the past week, a 7% decline. I'm Zaria Shakili.
Used home sales slowed last month, down 2% from July, according to the National Association of Realtors. Low home prices continued to climb last month at a less torrid pace. Police in Louisville, Kentucky say a drive-by shooting at a school bus stop has left one student dead, another hospitalized. It happened as the high schoolers were waiting this morning at a bus stop just west of downtown Louisville. The Federal Reserve wraps up a two-day policy meeting today, and as Wall Street awaits word on the outcome, stocks are up sharply. The Dow, 418 points higher. The Nasdaq, better by 117. The S&P is up 44 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Right now, people are home with their pet more often, and I think especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue.
Nala's got some skin issues. He gets really going and scratching.
Excessive shedding, a lot of just scratching and itching.
Digging, scratching and itching and biting. On top of that, he was starting to get black buildup in his ears.
DINOVITE.com.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot. And I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
We started Dynavite, and in our first stock, we noticed a difference, especially with the shedding.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
We've got four dogs, all different ages, all different sizes, and they've all just responded really well to the Dynavite, and they all love it.
We will be using Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
We order our Dynavite from Dynavite.com. DINOVITE.com.
A COVID therapy developed by researchers in London and derived from a llama has demonstrated significant potential in early trials.
The world continues its battle with emerging COVID variants. These researchers describe the prospect of their llama-derived therapy as fantastically exciting. Nanobodies, which are basically smaller and simpler versions of our own antibodies, are produced naturally by llamas and camels in response to infection. In this study, by vaccinating a llama named Fifi and taking a sample of her blood, scientists were able to take the most potent COVID-neutralizing nanobodies and turn them into their experimental treatment.
The BBC's Victoria Gill. U.S.-based private cybersecurity firm says it's uncovered evidence that an India media conglomerate, a police department, and the agency responsible for the country's national ID database have been hacked, likely by a state-sponsored Chinese group. News and analysis at townhall.com. Facebook's semi-independent oversight board saying it will review the company's X-check or cross-check system.
The announcement follows an investigation by the Wall Street Journal into the use of an internal system that has exempted high-profile users from some or all of its rules. The board says it expects to have a briefing with Facebook on the matter and will, quote, be reporting what we hear from this as part of a report it'll publish in October. It may also make other recommendations, although Facebook is not bound to follow those.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Her death has been ruled a homicide. An autopsy confirms remains found in Wyoming last weekend are those of 22-year-old Gabby Petito. She went missing during a cross-country road trip with her boyfriend, Brian Landry. He also went missing after returning home alone, now the subject of a manhunt. Yet on Wall Street, the Dow up 408 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio right here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Today, the 22nd of September, 8:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center, healing starts here. Jared's at the helm.
Good morning.
Good morning. I don't know if I'm going to mention Gavin Newsom's name during the next hour, but if I am, I want you to have it ready. Okay?
Will do.
All right. I'm going to come up with different things, too. Linda's here.
Good morning, everybody.
It's She's not on assignment.
Currently 66 degrees in the downtown studios. Well, it's Wednesday. Our highs today will be 93. Partly cloudy tonight. Weather overnight lows of 65. Thursday calls for mostly sunny with a high of 94. Thursday night, 66. Friday will call for a hot day of 97 and Friday night, 64. Saturday calls for 92. Overnight lows of 62 and Sunday, 88. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Locally owned, operated with senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Okay.
I'd like to just say real fast that for those of you who are members of the Riverview Country Club, I booked October 15th, a Friday night outside jazz. We're going to be going from 6 to 8 o'clock. It's going to be like wonderful finger food and some beers and that kind of thing. But I'm really excited because I love October. And October 15th happens to be one of my favorite days of the year. I don't know why. I love the middle of October. And so I'm really looking forward to doing music with the view of the river. It's that fall time. There's going to be heaters outside and fire pits. And I hope that you join us. That's all I can say.
Sold out last time. So, yeah, and we'll talk about it more.
So, Michael.
One of my favorite guests.
You may have to come out of the mountains and come hang out with us.
I heard you sing at a private event recently, and you're just as good as ever. So I would highly encourage everybody to come out in.
Michael DeQuista, one of my favorite interviews.
How are you, buddy?
Good morning.
It was also an attorney. Somebody said two attorneys. No. Mike comes. Well, yes, but Mike comes on as Reading City Councilman. Mike is known for speaking straight.
Yep.
And
say what's on your mind, buddy.
Saying what he believes. Now, it's not just, no, he doesn't say everything on his mind. I can probably safely say that.
My wife would agree with that, too.
Yeah. But you're straight about things. If you see something that doesn't look right, you say it, and it's cost you. I can say that, it's offended other members of the city council. But I think, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm pretty sure you think, you say, well, hey, that's what happened.
Well, it's in the abstract, if you tell the truth and say how you feel, you don't have to worry about what you said in the past because you should still feel the same and say the same thing. And everything that I say and do on the city council, I hope and I believe is in the best interest of the citizens of Reading. And one of the things I ran on was trust and transparency. And, you know, I think there were some trust issues. I think some of this council has worked to try to get the trust back, but getting trust back is difficult. And you got to be honest about things. People are the citizens are not children. They don't need to be treated like children. They can be treated like intelligent adults. And you tell them what it is and then say, look, this is the situation. This is how I view it. This is what I think. You can agree or disagree, and I respectfully listen to all opinions. And sometimes you change your mind. Sometimes you don't. And I think for the most part, the council gets along relatively well. It's not perfect, but that's why you have five people. So you have differing views and differing opinions.
Sure. You have to bring them all in.
It would be boring if they all thought like I did.
You know, after, 11 years here, who I am has not changed. However, I've heard arguments that have opened my mind to other things that I had not thought of before. And I think that's great. And on a city council, that's important. People come in with different viewpoints and that you all can discuss things.
What's the saying about you listen twice as much as you speak or five times as much as you speak?
You should.
And you can learn more from listening than you can from speaking because speaking, you already know what you're going to say.
And a lot of times when you're thinking about, oh, I'm going to answer that, you're not listening to what the other person says. You just don't listen. And here's something that started out kind of controversial. And this is about the unsolicited approach by, I think it's D plus D. Is that the name?
I think it's D&D Partners is the actual partner.
D&D Partnership, which is Populous, which is an international corporation that
holds
entertainment venues, sports arenas, things like this. K2, which is one of our local guys around here, the Knott family. Turtle Bay.
Correct.
And also the McConnell Foundation.
Correct. It's interesting. None of those have D in their name. So I don't know where D&D Partners came from, but that's an aside. But yes, those are the four, my understanding is those are the four principles that were involved in it.
And the consternation was, this is from what I heard, is they had it on the, agenda as a closed session, the, acquisition of land, and they gave out the plat numbers as Barry Tippin says. He says it's a lot easier finding what the plat numbers are than just addresses. But in retrospect, perhaps should have put down in there, like you did the second time, the sale of land around the Civic, because that kind of focuses what it is.
Your audience is fairly sophisticated, and they may know all this, but it takes, sometimes you got to repeat the message several times for new listeners and things like that. What actually happened is there's a council policy from years and years ago, which basically says when you have a real estate transaction, even starting at the beginning, it's presented in closed session. And for the most part, nobody has a problem with that because you want you don't necessarily want your negotiations to be public, certainly with price. If you want to get the highest price from a prospective buyer, you don't want people coming out in better terms. So anyway, that's a very good reason to keep it that way. But it was set up originally to be heard in closed session. There were discussions among me and the mayor and some other people about, gee, should this really be in closed session? What the law says is that the council may hold real estate negotiations in closed session. It doesn't say you have to. So you could hold every single real property sale and every negotiation in public if you wanted to. So I said, look, it says you may hold it, and I think for this particular transaction, it should be held in public, and the rest of the council agreed. So there, just so people understand, there was some confusion last night. There never was a closed session meeting held about this property sale. It was scheduled to be held before the meeting started, before the closed session started. There was a vote taken by the council after a motion made, I think, by the mayor, to not hear the item at all in closed session and to bring it back in open session. And everybody agreed with that. So there's never been any closed session discussions about this.
So proposal. I hope that settles some people's feelings here because there was not one mention of it after that vote was taken. So the first time that you all maybe didn't look at it because they did hand out things, but the first time that you all actually heard a presentation was in front of the community.
Last night was the first time that the council as a group has been presented the proposal and listened to the community and had deliberations or discussions among ourselves. There has not been anything before that.
I will say, and I'm sure I would probably have some agree with me, that especially now, that certain people will have a knee-jerk reaction when they hear something and then believe it to be so. And once they do that, they can't get it out of their head. And so they continue on rather than educating yourself to hear the truth. Right now you're hearing the truth. They've already just sent it out on Facebook. They've gone crazy with the fact that, you know, we're getting the wool pulled over our eyes once again. It seems to be that there are those of that ilk that want to just kind of go down that path. When in fact, you're being very transparent right now about how it all came down.
Yeah, what I said is exactly what happened. And I mean, I have no reason to say anything.
Exactly.
Otherwise. If we had discussed it in closed session, I would say so.
Exactly.
If we had a discussion in closed session, but we did not, and we purposely did not, because of the nature of the transaction and the importance to the community. And frankly, I mentioned at the one of the meetings, I think the first meeting, I said, in my opinion, every transaction and every discussion of the council concerning this proposal should be in public, and there should be no private closed sessions, period, including price and terms if and when we ever get there for this. I think it's so important for the community to have it in open session all the way through. I don't know how we've not voted on that. It hasn't come up yet because we're at the very beginning stages of the process. And I don't know how the other council members feel, but that's how I feel about it.
Well, we got to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about how this can look, because I think there's like five different things the council can do about this.
Okay.
Which was discussed last night. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, the only area hospital with a Da Vinci Xi surgical robotic system. What's that mean? Less pain, minimal invasive surgery, advanced set of instruments, reduced risk, and faster recovery times. Only at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. We'll be right back with Mike DeQuisto, Reading City Council.
Tired of listening to people who are angry all the time?
Try listening to Armstrong and Getty from 9 to noon right after Free Fire Radio.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? All have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Football is life. Get in the game. Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino to catch your favorite team on any of our 16 screens inside seasons. Score with our new Game Grub Buffet. Free spins, kickoff for cash and prizes. Nowhere else in town offers this. More football fun. Play hard, win easy. 49er tickets up for grabs all season long. Some people talk football, we live it. At Wind River Resort and Casino. Details at windriver.com.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Professionals from all over the world have been working remotely, and the hardest part is finding a great place to focus and get the job done. Drop-in Go Working at 155 Lake Boulevard East offers modern and clean workspaces, call booths, conference rooms, and secure fast Wi-Fi. Drop-in's pricing is pay-as-you-go, with bundles of hours as low as $3 an hour. No contracts, no obligation. Drop-in Go Working, 155 Lake Boulevard East, next door to Starbucks and Subway across from Waterworks Park. Drop in for an hour or more and try it out. Drop-in.mobi. That's drop-in.mobi.
Nothing says hang on to summer like classic root beer float treats. At Black Bear Diner, they paired sweet root beer and decadent vanilla cream in a dreamy cream pie filling to make a root beer float pie, served in a graham cracker crust and topped with whipped cream and maraschino cherries. Grab one with your meal or box one up to go. Always shareable, always delicious. But hurry! Serve this month only at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive, where you can always feed your inner bear. Dine-in, delivery, and carry-out available.
Black Bear Diner.
High Noble Safe Company, formerly known as Cold Steel Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane, is having a summer clearance sale. Save big on some of the highest quality safes around. High Noble Safe Company carries High Noble, Browning, and American Security, just to name a few, and features gun safes, home safes, and high security safes with stores in Redding, Roseville, and Petaluma. Delivery, moving, and repair service available. Call 530-223-5050. That's 530-223-5050. Or stop by High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane. KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Free Fire Radio, 7 to 9 AM, Monday through Friday here. And we have just a fabulous selection of guests almost every day here. Over 5,000 guests have joined us here over the last 11 years. I know you're trying, you know, how do you know that? I just go by, okay, if we have two a day, to say average two a day, 5 days a week, and then you start multiplying it out, and it's scary. Not individual guests, though. A lot of them come back. This is probably your 10th time, at least, for our guest, Mike DeQuisto, Michael DeQuisto.
One of my favorite things to do at 8 in the morning.
Well, you know what? If you got to be up, you might as well be able to share.
Sure.
And we're talking about, of course, the unsolicited offer. And I keep saying unsolicited. I think it's some people need to know that. This wasn't something the city council went out and said, hey, you guys, get together and give us a proposal to buy the land at the Civic. That's not what happened.
Let's talk about that just
yeah.
a little bit.
Okay.
And I think from Mr. Tippin's interview yesterday, he indicated that and this would be appropriate, that the initial contact was made to him
right.
by the group. I don't know which person made it, but it doesn't matter, but by the group.
In a letter, I think.
It was in a letter, and it was released, a letter of intent. And I don't know if they provided the same color package with it. They may or may not have at the same
yeah.
time. And he then brought it to the council's attention and set it on the agenda for the closed session meeting. One last thing about the agendas. The council does not create or set the agendas. The agendas are set and approved by the department heads and the staff, and they have, I think, weekly meetings every Tuesday. So right now they're working on the agenda for the meeting 2 weeks from now. So they're always planning something ahead so they don't show up and go, oh, we got nothing for you to decide, so we don't have a meeting. So if somebody says, well, did the council put this on the agenda? Did one of the council members do that? The answer to that is no. It wasn't. The agendas are primarily prepared by the staff. The mayor, I believe, has the ability to put an item on the agenda
right.
if he or she chooses.
That's what I understood, is the mayor can put one on.
So that's one of the prerogatives of being the mayor, is you can put an item on the agenda. A council member also has the ability to put an item on the agenda. Generally, they like to do this, what they call item 12 at the end, which is if you bring up an idea and if you get three people that are interested in hearing more, then the staff will create an agenda item and put it on one of the future agendas.
Okay. So what did you think? Okay, in the proposal last night.
Yes.
And if you're interested about the proposal, you go to the City of Reading portal under the board or under the City Council meetings. They have that document in there. It's on page 586, I believe.
You can download the agenda packet.
Which I don't care how high speed your your computer is. It's going to take a while. Go out, get a cup of coffee, come on back in. But then it's around 586, somewhere around there.
It's the last item, the last
right, the
part
very last one. And I went through that whole thing for you, my friend, so just so you know that. The whole agenda.
I did, too. I think it's part of my job.
Yeah. There's, anyway, so what did you think of the presentation? Who gave the presentation last night?
The presentation was given by Mr. Lockwood, who is I think it's Michael Lockwood is
Michael.
His name, and he's a Reading native, and his
went to Shasta High.
Father and grandfather started, I think his grandfather first came here and did Lockwood Automotive or Lockwood, mm-hmm. some Lockwood business on marketing.
So he's got a background here.
So he does. It's interesting. And I think he did a good job. He was out of the country. I don't know if he was on vacation or on a job or whatever, but he presented from, I think he was actually in France. He answered all the questions that were asked of him. He seemed, I was impressed with this presentation. I thought he did a good job.
Well, he's the chief architect for Populous.
Well,
and they've got offices throughout the world. They're based in, I think, what, Missouri or Kansas or somewhere?
Somewhere in the Midwest.
In the Midwest. But he and Alan have been friends since childhood. So they've always maintained a friendship, of course.
Well, it's always interesting when you say, how did the four people get together?
Yeah.
Who knew who? Did somebody cold call? Did somebody do this and that? And that explains that the two of the principals know each other.
Right.
And so I was impressed with his presentation, and he was forthright about all the questions he asked that were asked of him and that he answered. And he seems, as a native, it makes it interesting because he has some background and familiarity with the area. And I think that he wants to try to accommodate all interests. I mean, so here's just a general overview of if it moves forward, if the plan moves forward.
Right.
And that's two or three steps from now because it may not even move forward at all.
Right.
He seems to be interested in keeping all the public access that's currently available in any new plan or design. And I would be in favor of keeping the events that currently go on there and the public access the same as much as you can possibly to go and do that. So I would be interested, there ought to be some provision for the rodeo. There ought to be some provision for Cool April Nights, for some of the other shows at the convention center or whatever facility may or may not wind up being there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think that taking those away from the public is in the interest of the citizens of Reading. Because at the end of the day, you're going to have people that are going to support a change. You're going to have people that are not going to support a change. And the council will ultimately have to decide whether we think this is something that's important for the future of Reading or we don't think at this time that it is. I mean, that's going to be one of the $64 questions. And last night when I said we need more public workshops, here's the goal. I don't know what the public thinks. I have mixed feelings about how to go or not to go. I mean, I see the arguments on both sides, and I have clearly not made up my mind. But you need to have the public trust and the public confidence in whatever decision you make. And especially if the decision is to move forward, you're going to want as much public support as you can for that. Because if you think about in the future, if they decide to move forward and there's an election coming up in 2 years or whatever, every 2 years or there's an election for council, there probably will be a candidate who will say, I'm not in favor of this project. I want to put the kibosh on it. You know, elect me because of that. And that's a practical issue that you can't necessarily do anything about. But the more community support you have, the less likely it is that that would come along. And the community support should continue, and the community involvement should continue in the whole process, which gets me back to it should all be open. It should all be open and be in public, and they should be able to ask whatever questions they want.
Well, people are – excuse me. Go on.
We have seen through the years that we've been here, which is going on almost 16 now, that we've been here right when the bridge happened. We were here when people didn't want the bridge. And there always are going to be people who do not want change. They don't want Reading to grow. Well, you can't help it. Look downtown. whether you like it or not, we've got a bunch of big buildings. The whole the atmosphere.
The word big can be used.
Well, I mean they're bigger, but you know we've got buildings that are happening in Reading. It's not this.
We're moving forward.
Okay, and then Turtle Bay. The Sheraton. People didn't want the Sheraton. Some people didn't want the Sheraton, and we fought for that because we think and feel that those are beautiful enhancements of our city. Can we enhance that where everybody still is happy? Like the rodeo grounds, they may be transferred. We have a new facility for the Civic. We still have an area that people can do, like a local car show. And there'll be a period of time where people say, this is what it used to look like, but now we're here, but 5 years ago it was here. And it's a transitional time, and some people just don't like change. But the fact remains that you guys have all decided unanimously we're going to make every meeting open to the public.
Yeah, I think that's the only that's way a to good do thing, it. And it is the only way to do it. There's no other way to go do it. Once you have a meeting that's closed or behind closed doors, immediately the people that are the naysayers or the what did you do, and you can't discuss what happened behind closed doors in closed session. All of a sudden, rumors start to fly and things swirl around and gets put on Facebook or Instagram or God knows where. And, then people come to conclusions which may or may not be warranted because they don't understand the facts and weren't provided an opportunity. I mean, even if all the meetings are open and public and they're recorded, even if you don't attend the meetings, you can look at them online and you can see what happened. You can see who said what to who and what questions were asked and how the answers were given and come to your own conclusion about whether you think it's good or whether you think it's bad. I mean, we were here when the bridge was built, and I remember there were naysayers, and there are much fewer naysayers right now than there were before. The bridge has been a good thing. And my understanding is that the hotel has greatly helped Turtle Bay with its finances and with what's going on.
Yeah.
And the hotel's been a big success.
The hotel is a major success in the whole chain of those.
Even
though it's the smallest one, it's probably in the top five.
Progress can be hard sometimes.
It can be, but it doesn't mean we need to be afraid of it. We've got to take a break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, where I was at yesterday, and I was getting my head shorn by Tim, and who walked in, but my brother, Ted Leidy. And Ted's going to be on with me on the show tomorrow. Trish is back in Virginia. So Ted and I have got the show tomorrow, so you get to listen to us rattle on for a while. But it's the best place in town to get a haircut, in my opinion. It's Man's Last Stronghold. You're not going to find Dr. Phil on the TV set. No, not in Cypress Square Barbershop. They work by appointment only, so you give them a call at 244-9478. And while we were in there, you just hear a lot of different things going on from different people in there, different concepts. It's really interesting. Cypress Square Barbershop. We'll be right back with Michael DeQuisto, Reading City Council.
East of Omaha, you can listen to the engine moaning out his one note song. You can think about the woman or the girl you knew the night before. But your thoughts will soon be wandering the way they are.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
And when we get behind closed doors, when she lets her hair hang down.
Okay, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM behind closed doors. They're not doing it behind closed doors at the city council.
They're out front.
8:36 in the morning, 64 degrees out there. Air quality index is about 67 today. Went up a whole lot from yesterday. Yesterday was beautiful. Air quality index yesterday was 3. Today, 67. So it's just moderate, but you're getting close to being unhealthy again, or harmful, let me put it that way. Today, the 22nd of September, and this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. They have bags of cigars, that grab bags of personally selected cigars for under $30, and it's a super, super deal, plus all the tobacco accessories you may want to have. There at Tobacco and Brew, 2173 Hilltop Drive, open Monday through Saturday. Okay, we're with Michael DeQuisto, who is the Reading City Councilman at large, because everything's at large. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about last night. What kind of crowd was it?
Yeah.
How many people were there?
Yeah, how many people were there?
Yeah, and was it calm? Did people just give us a visual.
Usually we have department heads and an occasional speaker, depending on the average meeting. Last night, the chamber was probably three-quarters full.
Okay.
It certainly had a lot of media there. And there were a lot of cameras and print reporters and that kind of thing like that. So that was a good thing. And we all know why they were there. They probably wanted fireworks. Or they want to know what happened.
Yeah.
Because it's an important local story, and it should be covered.
Anybody get upset?
No, not any more so than usual.
Okay.
No, it was the crowd was very respectful. You know, it was interesting. I kept track of the comments that were made, just in general, and I had a little chart. I put Y, N, and question mark. Y is yes, N is no.
Right.
And question mark is I'm not sure. I'm open to it. About 20 people spoke. A third of the people were yes. Clearly, yes, I'm in favor of it. Let's move forward. Not necessarily with the current proposal, some with the current proposal, some with moving forward in whatever form. The other two-thirds were either, I don't know, which is a good chunk of them, or no, I'm for whatever reason, we don't want to do this at all. And I don't, let me talk a little bit about the end result of what it did. The end result of what the council did last night is we took no action on any of the suggested proposals. And because I said I'm not ready to make a decision as to whether we're going to move forward. So everything is still on the table. So the council could say after at a future meeting, no, we're not interested. We don't want to move forward with this proposal at all. The council could say we want to move forward with a master plan in some fashion. Whether it's done by city staff, whether it's done by we send out a request for a proposal, whether there may be another way to go do it. I believe there is a current riverfront specific plan, but I think it's years old. And the process to create a master plan is several years at least in the making. And there's many public meetings and chance for public input. And that doing that doesn't require you to sell it or to lease it or to do anything with it. It just is a step in the event you want to go do it.
Now, the a master plan for this area, and the populace, well, the D&D Corp or LLC, whatever they are, have said that they will put their money into a master plan, their vision of a master plan. But they have also said, if I understand right, that when you build something like this, it's with input from the city council and from the people.
Well,
and would that be an idea? Let them put their money into it, and then we guide them as a community on what we'd like to see.
Well, it's interesting, and this didn't really come up too much last night. In fact, didn't come up at all. The actual letter of intent, one of the very first things that they are proposing is they get what they call an exclusive negotiating agreement. And then shortly after that, they want a purchase and sale agreement. So the idea is that...
Before we see the plan?
Well, that's kind of the way it's laid out at the moment. And I am not in favor of that in any way, shape, or form. That seems to me to be a little bit of an overreach. I understand from their economic perspective, which is if we're going to invest a bunch of time and money, we want to have some kind of control over the property so it doesn't get taken away from us and we waste our time and money. So, I mean, I understand why they're asking for it, but I'm not interested in that. But that's down the road for, and it could be negotiable. There could be all kinds of things.
Sure.
The other issue is, and this comes down the road too, and it may be a way to get more people on board, and that is instead of a sale, if the council decides to move forward, instead of a sale, you do a long-term lease.
Yeah.
So, and people understand what a lease is, but a lease is that you own the property, you continue to own the property, but you give the right to use it under a written agreement to a third party. And they pay rent, and they do this, and they do that. But
it gives them the ability with the long-term lease, and we're talking long-term, is to raise the funding for it.
Well, that's correct.
Because, and then to be able to get their money back.
Because a lender, if you get a loan on your house and you get a 30-year loan, you own the house. So the lender doesn't have to worry about you not owning it anymore. If you say, I just lease the house and I want to get a loan, the lender says, well, what if the lease ends? Well, if the lease is 50 years, that's probably long enough to get financing or longer. And then that allows the property to come back to the city at the end of the time. So you're allowing it to be developed, but you're not selling it. And that may be a compromise or an avenue to proceed. Mm-hmm. We're not anywhere near that point to discuss that.
So what do you envision as the, I think somebody said in here, the PUP license, public comments. I don't know what that meant. I know about public comments. Do you envision, 4, 5, 6 public meetings for people to discuss this and
so that at our next council meeting, they're going to come back with some proposals or suggestions for the number of meetings, the subjects to be discussed at the meetings, where and when they'll take place, and who's going to be there. I did ask the D&D group, and I think it was through Ms. Phillips for the McConnell Foundation. I said, you know, I personally would like you to make the same presentation that you made at this meeting more times for the public, because that's part of the whole point of being transparent. And she said they would be amenable to that. So that part's good. Maybe they'll play the tape of the meeting last night and listen to Mr. Lockwood, if, depending on whether he could be available each time or
we're
not.
We're having Daniel Knott and hopefully Shannon will be on the show Friday.
Yeah, you can ask them
but
about
Danny,
that.
Danny is for sure, and we're waiting to hear about Shannon.
Yeah.
Just to talk about the proposal, because I think people need to hear from the, you know, we've listened to Barry and Tippin and yourself and from your point of view, but to listen to what their vision is also. You know, frankly, it's time. We need to, in my opinion, we need to move forward. Now, I don't know if this is the plan that we need to use. But we need to do something, having an event center and with convention halls or display halls that allows large groups of people to come in here and have a convention different events is not bad for our community, as long as it doesn't tear up the riverfront and gives, you know, our community the access to a world-class event center.
If you look at the dynamic of the proposed transaction, the person who started it should be the one garnering public support. It should be in D&D's interest to go out and
reach
have press conferences and reach out to people and do it as much as possible. They can hold them without the city council present. They could hold them on their own. I mean, nobody's stopping them from doing this. So
right.
It's the city's job to be transparent, but the real driving force behind it should be the people who are proposing it, and let's say this is what we want, this is what we're after, this is our vision, this is how we think it's going to work, this is what we want to go do, and let the public ask them questions. I mean,
that's the right thing to do. And you know, the the fact is that an event center like this will attract, where we can't get certain events here because we have no place for it, a large 15,000 to 17,000 seat center, if it's done correctly, will bring in groups we've never even thought of before. And the other part of this, when I ask Barry, and we'll talk about this when we get back, is who runs this thing, which has also got to be part of the planning on it. We'll be right back after these messages. It's 64 degrees out there. Of course, there's smoke in the air at 8:46 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Sanctuary is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you. Like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m., on KCNR 1460 AM or 96.5 FM is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Seasons Restaurant, located inside Wind River Resort and Casino, just got happier with outstanding appetizers. Stop by Thursday through Sunday from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. to enjoy pulled pork fries, coconut shrimp, Southwest quesadillas, and so much more. Your taste buds will be happier at Seasons. Mimosas are not just for brunch. Come try Seasons Tableside Bubbles and Berries Mimosa Bar, delivered right to your table. Thursday through Sunday, 7 a.m. to 11 a.m., only $15. Bubbles are better at the river. See windriver.com for more details.
There's more to explore with a Turtle Bay membership. Get unlimited access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and beyond. Family memberships are only $90 a year. That's less than $8 a month for a whole year of fun. Join today at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. 8:50 in the morning and 64 degrees out there. On the 22nd, tomorrow, Ted Leidy joins me as my co-host. I know that Trish is usually on Thursdays, but she's back in Virginia right now. Just talked to her yesterday, having a great time. We're here with Michael DeQuisto, and Terry's on the line. Good morning, Terry.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How you all doing?
I always do get, you know. I'm in the last 10 minutes of a grueling 2 hours.
Okay, well, anyway, yeah. Anyway, when you have a lease, let's say that this group builds some buildings. They build a lot of buildings, and they put money into that. At the end of the lease, what happens to the buildings, number one? Number two, yesterday the city manager had talked about the people's input. However, Michael, you were very honest about this is going to be a city council decision. There's also been some talk about maybe a committee getting together of private individuals. How are they picked? Are they picked by one side or another? So two questions. One is, what happens to the buildings that these people build on the property, number one? And number two, is there really people's input? Do they really have a say, or is that just sort of the right thing to say?
Okay, Terry, thank you very much. That's a good question.
Those are good questions.
So who owns the buildings?
So it would be up to the terms of the lease as to who would own the buildings, but as a practical matter, when you have a lease, a long-term lease, permanent improvements that are made by the tenant to the property become the property of the landlord at the conclusion of the lease, which is one reason why you make the lease long enough so that the landlord has sufficient financial incentive to invest and make the improvements and get their money back and make a profit.
So in this case, what does that mean? So is the city the landlord?
The city would be the landlord. I mean, this is way down the road.
I mean, I'm just...
These are general hypothetical terms, what if.
Right.
In general, the city would be the landlord, so the tenant, the proposed developer, would make the improvements, and at the end of the lease, the improvements would ownership would revert back to... The city.
So with the guy that builds it, though, he makes his money out of that long-term lease.
Yeah.
He pays back his loans, and then he makes a profit.
And presumably while he builds it, whatever income-generating activities he gets from there,
that's his.
And then from that, he would have to pay underlying lease payments and whatever else, maybe utilities or whatever you negotiated to go and do that.
Okay.
So that's how that would work.
Now, that's, again, my friends, we're not even... if that's stage one, we're not even into, we've just popped out of mommy right now. We haven't gotten to that part. Now the second part, how do you select, if we did go to a group of people that would, 1,000, you can't have 2,000 people on a committee. So if you did do this and you selected a committee of the people here, where all of their, where all these ideas would funnel through them. If you did that, how would you select that? It was the second question.
That's a good question. Primarily, you'd reach out to the community in every way you can, and you'd set up a committee that would decide who to be on there with input from populace, because assuming populace is the person that does it. You would pick different community members, volunteers from different areas that have different interests, and try to get a broad selection. The bigger question is, and this is sort of what I took from Terry's question, is let's suppose we have 5 public meetings.
Right.
And everybody comes and makes public comment, and at the last meeting there's one person, and that's it. And so we say, okay, we've heard all the public comment we need to do. Then the council has to make what I call the initial decision, which is, do you want to sell it? Or do you want to move forward, or do you not want to move forward? So it's conceivable at the end of those meetings, if the vast majority of the people say, we're not interested in moving forward, we don't want to change, and you want to reflect the vote of the citizens, and you think that's what the majority believes, then you would vote, no, we don't want to do anything. At the same time, you have an obligation as a council person to vote for what you think is in the best interest of the city, which may not be what a bunch of people said. There's going to be, it's like Costco. There's people in favor and there's people against. And at the end of the day, it's up to the council to make a decision. So it's conceivable that the council can make a decision to move forward. And it might or might not be unanimous. And you could have people that are upset about it. But if you believe that this is something that's good for the long-term interests of the citizens of Reading, that's what you get elected for, sometimes to make those difficult choices. And my goal, at least initially, in getting more public input is to try to help me decide, what does the public really want to do? Is there an overwhelming view one way or the other? Or is it 50-50? And I won't know until the meetings are held and we can do some more research.
Well, it's ended up before that we've had initiatives that ends up being voted on by the public.
Well, that's an interesting question, and one of the things we didn't come up last night, but you could say, we want to put this on the ballot.
Yeah.
And we want to see what the public votes and then see what they want. I mean, that actually is probably the most fair way to do it. And given the cost of the project in total that you're looking at, the cost for an election, if it's a couple hundred thousand dollars, isn't that much. And you're looking at a 10 or 20 year project. So it's not like you have to do this tomorrow. So that's a good thought. It's maybe you put it on the ballot and you say, this is what it is. And then it still would be up to the city council, I think, if you put it on the ballot. I think it would be an advisory measure.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to have some tough going if you vote against what the majority of the people say.
Yeah, because it's been used before. And that's how I think the Sheridan moved forward.
Well, it has been. And that's it's an expensive way to find out what the public thinks. But in this particular case, it's probably money that's well spent or worthwhile spending.
Yeah. Especially if you could tie it on to another ballot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just add it to it anyway. I mean, so it's not a big thing.
Well, in the meantime, you could move forward with a master plan of some kind.
Oh, sure.
So that you have it in your back pocket.
Yeah.
In the event
people
a future
need
council
to understand,
wants it.
People need to understand the whole thing. I mean, I'd like to see the master plan before I made that final decision. I think all of us would. Mm-hmm. Is that, what do you mean you're building a 12-story or a 15-story hotel here? That's not what we, that's not what we were looking at. Or something that just totally takes away what we have here in Redding.
Nothing is stopping the current proponent, D&D, from developing a master plan and fronting the money for it on their own.
Which they offered to do.
And, well, I'm not,
if,
under
yeah.
the timeline here, they want their exclusive negotiating agreement
okay.
and a buy-sell agreement before they go to do that.
Oh, okay. Well,
so, but
it's going to cost them about $1 million.
Well,
but hey, that's maybe small change looking at something in the long run.
In my view, $1 million on this project is chump change for what it's going to cost and what it could generate and what it could be. So, that's the old story. If you think the project it was that worthwhile and you want to put your money up front, put your money up front and do it.
Okay. We're here with Michael DeQuisto, who Reading City Councilman.
Thanks for being with us today.
As usual.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. It's one of the more fun things I do as a council person.
Well, you know, it's agree or disagree with Mike. You know, he listens to people, and he's not going to be swayed.
He's a reasonable man.
Yeah, you're not going to be swayed by crazy arguments one way or the other. So, and this is, I personally would love to see a master plan with something like this in it that captures Reading, but it also provides us a venue for bringing thousands and thousands of people in here for short periods of time.
Well, maybe at some
point. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. At some point along the way, if there's a proposal for citizens to make contributions and maybe give them a financial incentive to do something for the top three choices or five choices, I mean, I'd kick some money in to do that. I think it's I want the public to be excited about the project one way or the other. Whether they're in favor of it or against it, I want them to be involved. And that's really, that makes my job easier. And it makes the other council members' jobs easier, the more involved the public is, so that we know what we're dealing with. The less involved they are, it's hard to know sometimes.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Thank you.
Tomorrow, like I said, Ted Lighty's going to join me, and we're going to discuss a few things. I know one thing we're going to discuss is that Afghanistan debacle. You know, we've both been in the military a long time, and we're still trying to figure out what happened there. I don't think there ever is an explanation for that. And which way our country's heading, it seems, right now. That's all tomorrow on Free Fire Radio. It's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't.
KCNR.